I'm Megan Kamrick with news about women from around the world. This week in women's history, on February 4, 1918, Ida Lupino was born. According to the National Women's History Project, she was a prolific American woman director and actress who was involved with movies dealing with social issues, polio, unwed mothers, and rape, more than 40 years before the topics were widely discussed. President Donald Trump yesterday defended former aide Rob Porter, wishing him well in his future endeavors without any mention of the two ex-wives who have accused Porter of physical and emotional abuse. The Associated Press reported Trump's comments set off a firestorm at a time of national conversation about the mistreatment of women, and they came amid rampant White House finger-pointing about who knew what and when about the severity of the spousal abuse allegations. Trump said Porter, who resigned when the abuse allegations became public this week, had worked hard at the White House and wished him well. He said very strongly yesterday that he's innocent, Trump added. Trump's comments drew immediate condemnation from women's groups and Democrats. They came amid swirling questions about how White House Chief of Staff John Kelly had handled the matter and whether he could maintain his job despite Trump's growing frustration. As races for the midterm elections gear up, more than 400 women are running for House seats and 50 are running for the Senate. The Chicago Tribune reports more women are stepping up following the victory of Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton and women's marches around the country, plus the growth of the Me Too movement. Rutgers University's Center for American Women and Politics predicts 2018 could be a record breaker in terms of the number of women seeking elected office. The head of Vote Run Lead, which trains women to run for political office, says more women are recognizing they're viable candidates and have valuable experience. In Sri Lanka this weekend, a quarter of the 60,000 candidates for offices will be women after the patriarchal political system put in place a requirement that 25% of candidates in local elections be women. Many women are stepping up to take a chance and have faced challenges such as sexual assault, intimidation, and attacks on their character, according to the New York Times. Some religious leaders have told their followers not to vote for women. Many of the problems have come from the internal structures in the women's own parties. Chulani Kudakara, a researcher and doctoral candidate at the University of Edinburgh, said, quote, "Men in Sri Lanka have for too long dominated politics, and they are now, I think, experiencing delayed shock and denial." In England, government officials will consider pardons for suffragettes convicted during the struggle for women's right to vote. The announcement came this week, a century to the day since some female voters won the right to go to the polls. The Associated Press reported Home Secretary Amber Rudd said she would take a look at the cases of women who were prosecuted during the pro-suffrage campaign more than 100 years ago. Suffragettes used public protests, civil disobedience, and occasionally violence in their campaign for women's votes. More than 1,300 were arrested and many were jailed. Some endured forced feeding during prison hunger strikes. Campaigners have called for convicted suffragettes to receive posthumous pardons, citing the precedence of pardons given to gay men who are convicted of now abolished offenses for homosexuality. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is warning that without accelerated action, 68 million girls could be subjected to female genital mutilation by 2030. He said in a statement on International Day of Zero Tolerance for Female Genital Mutilation this week that the practice is a gross violation of the human rights of women and girls. The Associated Press reported Guterres said over 200 million women and girls in 30 countries across three continents have experienced genital mutilation. Agency Executive Director Natalia Kanem urged greater political will, community engagement, and spending to reach the UN goal of ending the practice by 2030. Muslim women and men began using the hashtag MosqueMeToo this week to highlight the problem of sexual assault during the Hajj and other pilgrimages. The BBC reports it's now one of the top trends on Farsi Twitter. The Hajj is something every adult Muslim is expected to do once in their lives if they are physically able and can afford it. The event brings huge crowds to the city of Mecca in Saudi Arabia. The Twitter campaign also challenged the idea that if women wear the traditional head covering, the hijab, they will be safe from such attacks. In Iran, where the hijab is mandatory, women have been protesting the stricture, prompting at least 29 arrests. The Girls of Revolution Street protest began in late December when Vida Movahed removed her hijab and stood on a box on a busy Tehran street and then waved a stick with her white scarf on it for an hour, according to The New Yorker. She was detained for a month, but video of her went viral and women, old and young, and even men, followed suit. A survey found that half of Iranians feel the hijab should not be compulsory. A veteran Hollywood producer caught up in the Harvey Weinstein scandal has killed herself. NPR reported Jill Messick was 50. Messick suffered from bipolar disorder, but her family suggested her suicide was driven in part by being in the middle of the Weinstein scandal. Messick was Rose McGowan's manager when the actress said she was raped by Weinstein in 1997, a charge he denies. According to the Associated Press, Messick's family says McGowan reported the incident to her without calling it rape, but Messick realized something inappropriate and possibly illegal had happened and reported it to her senior bosses. But she later went to work under Weinstein at Miramax. Quote, Jill was victimized by our new culture of unlimited information sharing and a willingness to accept statement as fact, Messick's family said. The speed of disseminating information has carried mistruths about Jill as a person, which she was unable and unwilling to challenge. She became collateral damage in an already horrific story. February 11th marks the International Day of Girls and Women in Science. The chief of the UN, Antonio Guterres, used the occasion to call for concerted, concrete efforts to overcome stereotypes and biases, such as media representations of scientists and innovators as being mainly men. UN officials said in a press release that such imagery makes it difficult for girls to believe they can be scientists, explorers, or inventors. They added that the rapidly growing science and technology sectors are vital to national economies. And in California, where recreational marijuana was recently legalized, one enterprising Girl Scout got the smart idea of selling her cookies near a San Diego dispensary. The New York Times reports the girl, who was not named, sold more than 300 boxes in 6 hours. And in New Mexico news, it's Film Week in Santa Fe, and on Monday, February 12th at 3 p.m., there will be a panel at the Center for Contemporary Arts called Turning the Tide on Sexual Harassment, A Path Forward. Panelists will talk about possible actions to turn around what organizers say is a toxic culture and build a future that's safe and fair for all people in New Mexico. And we will be talking more about sexual harassment and film industry work later in the show. For Women's Focus, I'm Megan Kamrick.